She used the flashlight on her phone, shining it down the dark hallway. Danny's hand was clutching her T-shirt from behind, and she could almost feel the fear emanating off her. She heard nothing out of the ordinary, and her gut told her there wasn't anyone in the house, yet she used caution as she crept down the hallway and into the living room. She found the offending window. The curtain was moving from the breeze. Danny brought her attention to the floor. A baseball. Harper flipped on the lights, making sure there was nothing else disturbed, other than the broken window. She kicked the ball with her foot, seeing a smiley face drawn on its white surface.
"So he found us again," Danny stated.
"Looks that way." She called Fender, the officer parked at the corner. It was 4. Shift change wasn't until 6. "Yeah, hey, it's Detective Jeremiah."
"Yes, ma'am. Is everything okay?"
"No, we had a baseball thrown through one of the front windows. You got any activity?"
"No, ma'am. It's been quiet. Haven't seen a thing."
"Okay. Go ahead and come up to the house. Park in the driveway. I'll let you take the ball back to the lab when you get relieved."
"Be right there."
She turned to Danny. He didn't see anyone.
"I know we keep asking the same question, but how did he find us?"
"If I didn't know that this guy followed you to Dallas, I'd suspect we had a leak in the department, like you suggested."
She studied Danny. "Let's do a body scan."
"Excuse me? I mean, it sounds kind of fun, but..."
Harper smiled and shook her head. "We've checked your luggage, your clothes. Let's do a body scan. When we first checked for bugs, they didn't scan the clothes you were wearing. Shoes, watch."
"Okay. So you still think he's tracking us?"
"He's either been given the information or yes, he's tracking us."
"A body scan?"
"Yes, they're doing it now."
Reed leaned closer.
"And you slept in the same bed?"
Harper smiled.
"We did. She likes to snuggle."
"Oh my God, say she didn't."
Harper winked. "I don't think she knows that she likes to snuggle."
"Damn, you lucky dog. I still can't believe you got this assignment."
Lieutenant Mize walked over to them, motioning with his head for them to follow him. He closed the door to his office, then stood at his desk, facing them.
"A baseball, huh? Are we sure it was him?"
"No way of knowing for sure," Harper said. "There was a smiley face drawn on it, like the balloons had."
"Could it have been a neighborhood kid?"
"At 4 in the morning? I suppose it could have been, but you indicated it was a quiet, older neighborhood, retired folks mostly."
"Yeah, that's what I was told."
He turned to Reed. "You interviewed the victim again. Anything new?"
"Actually, yes. He wore white gloves, but she said she saw a tattoo on his wrist. Partial, anyway, where the glove slid up. It was red. She said it looked like an arrow. Had a feather."
"Like a bow and arrow? Cowboys and Indians?"
"Yeah, I guess."
Reed shrugged.
"Other than that, no, nothing new, but she's holding up pretty good."
"She'll make a good witness then," Mize said, "provided we could find him, which looks doubtful." He turned back to her.
"This safe house is out, obviously. I've requested another one."
"So we're just going to keep moving around, hoping we lose him one of these times?"
"It would help if we knew how he was finding you in the first place. And no, there's no leak here, Harper. There aren't enough people in the loop. Even in the safe house, no one knew who we were keeping there, not even the patrol officers."
"It's no secret that Danielle Stevens is here and is supposed to be shadowing me. I'm fairly certain everyone knows who's in the safe house with me."
"It's rumors. Nothing more.
Now what? You're scanning her stuff again, looking for a bug?"
"Yeah. Full body scan."
"Yeah, I heard. I'm sure you just made their day down there."
"What if they don't find anything?"
Reed asked.
"Then what? Maybe it is a leak."
"There's no goddamn leak," Mize said quickly. "How would he have a contact in the police department anyway? He followed her here from Los Angeles. However the hell he's finding her, it's not because of a leak," he insisted.
While Harper tended to agree with him, she thought they should at least keep the possibility open. Unless, of course,
The body scan produced something. He walked around his desk and sat down.
Now, 4 more days. That's all we have to worry about. Surely you can elude this guy for 4 days, Harper.
That's right. 4 more days. Then we send her on her merry way, she said sarcastically.
Well, since he seems to keep finding you, maybe you'll get the opportunity to catch him. Just make sure nothing happens to Ms. Stevens in the process. We want her alive and well when she leaves Dallas, and the sooner the better.
He handed her a piece of paper.
That's the address. We'll put a unit on the street, right out front. You won't see him tonight.
Thanks, she said dryly, wondering if even that would keep him away.
What about me? Reed asked. I think you and Hernandez have a serial rapist you're working on, right?
Chapter 21
So you didn't tell me how much fun the body scan would be, Danny teased.
Harper raised her eyebrows.
How so?
Patty Jennings. She was quite thorough.
Harper laughed.
You're very bad, Miss Stevens.
Then she winked. Maybe I should have done one, too.
Danny laughed, but she sobered quickly. But they found nothing, huh?
No. However he's finding us, it's not because of a tracking device.
Harper surprised her by turning into a grocery store parking lot.
So we don't have a repeat of last night, she explained.
You're going to let me go shopping with you, right?
Harper reached into the back seat and brought out a dark blue baseball cap with DPD emblazoned on the front.
Sunglasses?
I have some, yes.
Don't look at anyone. Don't smile. If you have to talk, use your Tennessee twang.
She pulled her hair into a ponytail and secured it through the back of the cap, then turned to Harper and smiled.
How's this?
She asked, as she shoved sunglasses on.
Don't smile. You're too pretty when you smile, and that cap can't hide it.
Try as she may, Danny couldn't keep the grin from her face.
Too pretty, huh?
Okay, I'll try not to smile. She made a face, giving a sideways, crooked grin and widening her eyes dramatically.
How's that?
Harper laughed.
Okay, that'll work.
What are we shopping for? Will I get to cook?
I was thinking frozen dinners or something. Simple stuff.
Danny got out and followed her to the door.
What did you do with a leftover pizza?
Gave it to Reed.
Harper held the door open for her. But if you were going to cook something simple that didn't require a lot of stuff, what would it be?
Danny paused. What are you in the mood for?
Harper grinned.
Mexican food.
Okay, so no. What else?
A good steak, medium rare, baked potato. Vegetable is optional.
Danny laughed.
So we're buying frozen dinners, I guess.
What about hamburger helper or something?
Gross, really?
I've always been kind of fond of casseroles.
I grew up on casseroles,
she said as she pushed the cart down an aisle.
My grandmother had 3 or 4 that she rotated.
So let's do a mini casserole then. Pasta, cheese, some creamy stuff.
I guess we could do something. A pseudo stroganoff, maybe? That wouldn't be too hard.
Harper nodded. I'll even help. I'm a great chopper. They got everything she needed to make a dish that at least resembled beef stroganoff, although she doubted once she added the shredded cheese, Harper's insistence, that anyone would dare call it stroganoff. To be safe, Harper had also picked up a few frozen dinners, just in case. They also got a couple of frozen breakfast burritos and a bottle of orange juice. When they got to the checkout, Danny offered to pay, handing over a credit card. Harper glanced at it and shook her head.
Probably not a good idea.
Oh, she saw her name, Danielle Stevens, stamped across the front.
Sorry, I forgot.
Forgot you're a big star?
Danny smiled.
Yes, and I like it very much, but I have another card in my real name.
That's okay, I got it.
Harper leaned closer as she carried their bags out.
So are you really, like, a big shot?
I wouldn't go that far. I only have 4 movies, and I'm rather reluctant to give interviews. I hate doing the talk show circuit.
She shrugged.
Again, I'm not a very good celebrity.
You're obviously good enough to warrant a stalker.
Or bad enough. She got in beside Harper and closed the door. I'm being honest here. I'm not all that good. As an actress, I mean. It's totally based on my looks, and I don't pretend that it's any other reason. And if I was really into this whole lifestyle, then yes, I could milk it for years, I'd guess. But I'm not into it at all.
Which is why you want to do the drunk cop movie.
Exactly. I'll be exposed. It'll be a damn good reason to get out.
That's got to be disappointing, though, going out on a low note.
Danny shook her head. Not for me. Maybe disappointing for Danielle Stevens, but not for Danny Strauss.
What about going back to Tennessee and trying to reconnect with your family? Is that in the cards?
I don't know. She turned to look at Harper as she drove. You mean going back as their lesbian daughter?
Harper smiled. Yeah, the real you.
I would imagine they'd prefer I stay away if that was the case. What about your family? Since you left Tucson, do you still have a relationship with them?
We talk on the phone some. Not a lot.
Harper glanced at her quickly. They didn't like me being a cop to begin with. The thing with Jan, well, they blamed me. So did her parents.
Did you blame you?
Harper nodded. Yes.
Still?
Still.
This place is certainly nicer than the other one, Harper said as she inspected the master bath. Wonder how long it'll take him to find us.
Well, he certainly wasn't tailing us. You made me dizzy with all the turns you made.
Harper followed her into the kitchen. Yeah, I almost got lost myself.
She caught the onion that was about to roll off the counter.
I'm a great onion shopper, but let me check in with a unit out front. I'll be right back.
Okay. The patrol car was parked across the street from the house. She jogged over to them, smiling at Jawan Freeman, as he lowered his window.
Hey, man, you've got an easy job tonight.
Detective Jeremiah. Good to see you, he said with a quick handshake. Bill Ford, this here is Harper Jeremiah.
Harper looked past him to his partner and nodded.
Ford, yeah, I've seen you around.
You got Danielle Stevens in there?
Jawan asked with arched eyebrows.
Got all kinds of rumors swirling around.
Like what? Like she's linked to that rape the other night? The case Springer caught.
Well, so much for Mize thinking there wasn't much speculating going on. She didn't see the point in lying to them.
Yeah, she's in there. She's got some guy stalking her. He keeps finding us.
Yeah, I heard about the baseball last night.
We'll keep a good eye on the place, Detective. You won't have a disturbance tonight. Not on my watch.
I hope not. She tapped the side of his car.
Thanks for having my back.
Sure thing, Harper.
Jawan Freeman was one of the first officers she'd met when she'd transferred to Dallas. He'd worked the scene of her very first assault victim, a scene that brought back all sorts of nightmares. And for some reason, he'd taken a liking to her. He was big and black and brawny, and she admitted she was a little intimidated by him. But it was as if he'd sensed the war going on inside of her. He'd stuck by her all night, helping with the questions, prompting her when she'd stumbled over some of them. Afterward, they'd gone out for drinks when his shift had ended. He hadn't asked any questions, and she never felt the need to explain, but they'd bonded over drinks. They hadn't seen each other socially since that night, but whenever she saw him, like now, he was friendly with her, more so than he might have been with other detectives. She always tried to give him the same respect that he showed her. She turned back around, finding him watching her. She gave him a quick nod, wondering if he was remembering that night, too. She went back inside the house, locking the door behind her. She heard Danny call from the kitchen.
Harper, that's you, right?
She smiled.
It's me.
Good. Come chop the onion. I'm ready for it.
The kitchen smelled divine, and she inspected the pans on the stove before going to the cutting board and the onion.
Toss it in the pan, then add the mushrooms.
So you sliced the mushrooms, but not the onions?
Danny laughed.
Mushrooms don't make me cry.
Harper made quick work of the onion, a task that brought back pleasant memories. Jan was quite the cook, but she hated chopping veggies. She always teased Harper, calling her the sous chef, as Harper peeled and chopped whatever Jan needed. She paused a second before adding the onions to the pan with olive oil, realizing that this was the very first time she'd participated in cooking dinner since Jan had died. "You okay?" Danny asked quietly. Harper nodded.
"Yeah, I used to do this a lot."
"For Jan?"
"Yes.
She didn't like crying over onions either." Harper held her hand up.
"And don't say you're sorry. It's a nice memory."
She put the knife down.
"Too often when I think of Jan, I think of that night, of how we found her."
She swallowed, pushing those images away.
"I don't think of the good times nearly enough."
"How long were you together?"
6 years. We'd met a couple of years before that, but we were both dating other people.
She pushed away from the counter.
"I was on patrol when we first got together. I made detective a couple of years before. Well, before the
what? The rape? The murder?" "Harper?" She turned, meeting Danny's eyes.
Can I hug you?"
Danny asked quietly.
"You think I need one?"
"Yes. I just don't know if you want one."
Danny moved closer.
"Do you ever allow yourself to be comforted?"
"No. That might push my guilt away. Guilt is all I have to hold on to."
"Guilt is an awful thing to hold on to. Memories, love, laughter, that's so much better than guilt."
Harper tilted her head.
"You don't speak from experience."
"No. I speak from wishing. Wishing I had love and laughter in my life."
Danny took another step closer, not asking this time as she wrapped her arms around Harper and pulled her close. Harper gave in to the hug, closing her eyes as their bodies made contact. It had been so very long since she'd been this close to another woman. Jan's memory was still fresh in her mind, but she knew it was Danny whose arms were wrapped around her.
It felt nice.
Chapter 22. Danny had to admit, even though it only vaguely resembled Stroganoff, that it was a delicious dinner. Judging by Harper's moan, she agreed. Adding cheese to this dish was sinful.
"Adding cheese to this dish was a good idea," Harper countered.
"My idea. Good idea. A bottle of red wine, something with just a touch of sweetness, would go good with this," Danny mused.
"I could go for that," Harper smiled. "I could go for a beer, or some of your Tennessee whiskey."
"Actually, I could go for a beer, too." She put her fork down. "My parents didn't drink a drop of alcohol, so when I got to college, I experimented. A lot. I was warned that beer was an acquired taste." She laughed.
"Well, I was also told good wine was as well, but we couldn't afford good wine."
"But beer?"
"Yes, I like beer. When I worked at the real estate place, we used to go out to local microbreweries quite a bit. I enjoyed that. There's so many unique beers out there."
"I would pick you for a light beer kind of gal."
"You'd be wrong," she said, as she took another bite of the pseudo-stroganoff.
Harper paused, lightly tapping her plate with her fork.
"Listen, about earlier."
Danny raised her eyebrows.
"Earlier?"
"You, me, the hug."
"Oh, are hugs not allowed?"
"No, I mean, no, that's not it. However, hugs probably aren't allowed."
Harper put her fork down. "What I mean is, I don't talk about Jan, ever, to anyone." She picked her fork up again, stirring the food on her plate. "I don't know why, really. Reed, he's the closest thing I have to a friend here, and I've never mentioned her."
"And you're questioning why you've told me about her?"
"Yeah."
Danny folded her hands together, wondering what Harper was thinking.
"Did it feel good to talk about her?"
Harper nodded.
"I feel responsible for her death. I carry that with me. But I also feel cheated. Cheated out of love. Cheated out of a life with her. We were happy. We had a good relationship. So I carry this guilt with me. Because she's dead.
Yet I still have a sense of selfishness. I feel sorry for myself for what I've lost.
From what you've said, you not only lost her, but you lost your family, her family. You left friends behind.
Danny waited until Harper met her eyes.
You don't have any friends, do you?
No, I don't have anyone.
Danny reached across the table and covered Harper's hand with her own.
We're kinda in the same boat, for completely different reasons, she said quietly.
I'll be your friend, Harper, if you'll be mine.
Harper turned her hand over, letting their fingers entwine.
Thanks. I think I'd like that.
Me too.
Harper took her time in the bathroom, trying to give Danny some privacy as she changed clothes for bed. She admitted that the evening had been... well, it had been nice. Dinner was good. She'd even had seconds. They'd cleaned up the kitchen together, then they'd gone into the living room, flipping through channels on the TV, before Danny found another cooking show to watch. They'd chatted some, but mostly, it was a quiet but companionable evening. By 10 o'clock, Danny was fighting yawns, and Harper had to remind herself that they'd been woken up at 4 that morning by a baseball thrown through the window. She'd looked out the window, seeing Juwan still parked across the street. It comforted her knowing that he was there. Before going to the back of the house, she checked all the doors and windows, making sure everything was locked. Maybe they'd have a peaceful night for once. Danny was under the covers, the overhead light already out, and the lamp turned on beside the bed.
I know this is the opposite side of the bed from what we've been doing, but I wasn't crazy about sleeping next to the door.
This is fine. She didn't think it mattered anyway. Each night, Danny seemed to find her way into the middle of the bed. She had exaggerated a bit with Reed, but yeah, Danny liked to snuggle. So far, it hadn't been anything blatant, only holding Harper's arm in a death grip while she slept. Harper doubted Danny even knew she did it.
I also have a confession to make, Danny said.
Harper paused as she drew back the covers.
Oh yeah? Got another bombshell to drop on me?
Danny laughed. No, nothing quite as shocking as me being a lesbian. Harper got in beside her.
Shocking to some, I suppose. I had no preconceived notions about you, so it wasn't that shocking.
She reached out to turn off the lamp. The light from the bathroom cast enough glow into the room for her to still see Danny.
Oh, come on. You were surprised.
Okay, a little, but only because you're the most attractive lesbian I've had the pleasure to meet.
Danny smiled at her. Thank you.
And your confession?
Oh, well, you seem like the kind of person who likes her personal space.
I do?
Yeah. You kind of keep your distance. You're not a touchy person, at least not that I can tell.
Okay, I guess.
Yeah, so I kind of got into your space.
Last night.
Harper stared at the ceiling, a smile on her face.
Last night, huh?
Yes, I woke up and I was using your arm as a clutch pillow or something.
And you thought you should confess that to me?
In case I did it again, you know, so you wouldn't be shocked.
Harper laughed. Danny, you've done that every time we've shared a bed. Last night wasn't the first.
Oh my God, you knew?
Of course. I'm a very light sleeper to begin with.
I'm so sorry. I don't know.
It's okay. If it bothered me, I would have said something. Or at the very least, moved away from you.
She turned her head to look at Danny. I know you're scared. I know I'm the only one you trust right now. If you need that reassurance, if you need physical contact like that, I'm okay with it.
Thank you. You are the only one I trust.
I know. It's okay. I think you're safe here.
Danny sighed.
Until I have to leave. You don't happen to know any good bodyguards, do you?
I know. This whole situation is crazy. The idea that we're protecting you while you're here, only to send you off on your own, is ludicrous, in my opinion.
What would you do differently?
I would try to draw him out.
Use me as bait, like you said?
Yes, but it could be a dangerous game.
And I know why Lieutenant Mize, the captain, I know why they won't hear of it. There are so many things that could go wrong.
Then why do you want to do it?
Because when you leave here, he's going to follow you, provided, of course, that he can find you.
Which he's been able to do so far, Danny said, as she rolled toward her. Use me as bait. How?
Not try to hide you, for one thing. He's getting bolder. He's obviously showing up, leaving dolls, slashing my tires, throwing baseballs. He's getting close, but he's not trying to come inside. Most likely because he knows I'm here.
You're not suggesting I stay somewhere alone, are you?
No, but somewhere where he would think you're alone. She shook her head. It doesn't matter now. It's too late for that. We've already tried to hide you. If we reverse course, he'll know.
Danny fidgeted with the covers for a second, then sighed. Harper, do you think I should just leave now?
Why? Danny sighed again, this one almost painfully loud.
I have another confession to make.
Okay.
When I picked you, your eyes. I told you that I knew I could trust you from just looking at your picture.
Danny turned toward her.
When I came here, I had a sense that he might follow me, and I knew if he did, that you would protect me. It was like I would bring him down here and you would catch him for me.
You thought all of that just from looking at my picture?
Harper, I don't want to leave here only to take him back with me.
Oh, Danny, I don't know what I can do. Mize knows what my reservations are about this. That doesn't seem to matter. He's got his orders, too.
Which is to make sure nothing happens to me while I'm on your watch, regardless if you catch him or not.
Yes.
Danny nodded. So, again, do you know any good bodyguards?
Then she smiled, wiggling her eyebrows teasingly.
Or better yet, are you available?
Harper laughed. You mean, leave this glamorous job of mine to follow you around? I don't know. What does it pay?
Danny laughed, too.
Oh, honey, I'll pay whatever you want.
Chapter 23 Harper jerked awake, listening. She turned her head slowly, finding Danny next to her, both hands wrapped around Harper's left arm tightly. She listened to her breathing for a moment, then tried to determine what it was that had awoken her. There were no sounds out of the ordinary, but something didn't feel right. Sixth sense, perhaps, but she knew something was wrong.
Danny,
she whispered. She moved her arm slightly, nudging her awake. Danny opened her eyes sleepily.
Hmm? Wake up. I think I heard something.
Danny's eyes popped open.
What is it?
Don't know. She sat up and pulled on her jeans, not bothering with her shoes. Her weapon was beside the bed, and she picked it up. She heard Danny dressing, too, and she knew better than to suggest she wait here in the room alone. At the door, she held a finger to her lips, indicating to Danny to be quiet. Then she slowly opened the door. There was a lamp on in the living room. She frowned. Had she forgotten to turn it off? No. No, she remembered plunging the room into darkness after she'd checked the locks. She turned to Danny.
I need you to stay here, she whispered. Don't argue with me.
But
stay right here in the hallway where you can see me, she pointed. Someone's been inside.
Oh, Jesus. Danny clutched her arm.
He could still be inside,
she whispered.
Yes, stay here.
Thankfully, Danny didn't argue. She pressed against the door and nodded.
Be careful.
Harper felt her heart pounding in her chest as she crept down the hallway. She nearly gasped when she saw it. A lone balloon, bright red, was tied to the lamp. It bobbed harmlessly overhead, the message mocking her. Have a nice day. She went to the front door, finding it still locked by a deadbolt. So were the windows. She flipped on the lights, then went into the kitchen. The back door was also locked, with a deadbolt, from the inside.
What the hell? She murmured. How had he gotten inside? Then her eyes widened. She'd left Danny in the hallway, but she'd never checked the spare bedroom, the hall closet, the other bathroom. She turned and nearly ran to the back of the house, relief flooding her when she found Danny standing where she'd left her, her eyes swimming in fear. Harper once again held a finger to her mouth, then went to the spare bedroom and pushed the door open. It was dark and quiet. She turned the light on, finding the room undisturbed. She opened the closet door, then paused to look under the bed. The bathroom was also empty. Other than the damn balloon, there was no indication that anyone had been inside. She blew out her breath, then went back out to Danny. All clear. She took Danny's hand and led her into the living room. Danny gasped when she saw the balloon.
Oh, my God. She turned to Harper. He was inside. He was really inside the house.
She sat down heavily on the sofa, staring at the balloon.
Just like before. At home. He would come during the night while I was sleeping.
Harper pulled out her phone from her jeans pocket, calling Jawan. After four rings, it went to voicemail.
Come on, come on.
She called again, as she went to the window and looked out. The street was empty. There was no sign of the patrol car. No sign of Jawan and Bill Ford.
What the hell?
She murmured as she ended the call.
What is it?
Looks like our backup is gone.
What? Why?
I have no idea, she said abruptly. She grabbed Danny by the shoulders, holding her in front of her. We pack our things. We go through the garage. We get in the car and get the hell out of here. Danny nodded, but there was fear in her eyes.
He was inside. What if...
He's not inside now. She motioned out the window. Without backup, I feel like we're sitting ducks. We need to get out of here. Danny nodded.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Danny took her hand.
But don't leave me.
I'm not going to leave you. I promise. It didn't take them long to pack the few things they'd taken out. Harper shoved her clothes haphazardly into her bag without thought. She kept Danny behind her as they went through the kitchen and to the garage door. It, too, was protected by a deadbolt, locked from the inside. Still, she was cautious as she opened the door. The deadbolts hadn't seemed to deter him from entering the house. Her small flashlight was enough for them to see by, and she felt Danny clinging to her back as they stepped into the garage. It was eerily quiet. So quiet, she could hear each rapid beat of her heart as she flashed the light around. The garage was empty, as it had been yesterday when she'd parked there. No boxes, no clutter, no place for anyone to hide. She shined the light inside the car, hearing Danny gasp behind her. In the back seat was a doll, dressed in a police uniform. There was a knife stuck in the chest.
Son of a bitch, she muttered. He was in here. How the hell did he get in here? Harper, let's get out of here,
Danny said urgently beside her. They ignored the doll as they tossed their bags in the back. She jerked open the overhead garage door, expecting to find someone outside waiting for her, but the driveway was empty. She paused, looking around. The street was dark, quiet. Then a lone dog barked a few houses down, breaking the silence. She hurried around to the car, getting in and slamming the door. She took off with a squeal of her tires, busting down the dark street at breakneck speed. Chapter 24
I know it's 3 in the morning, she said loudly into the phone. I'm telling you, there was no unit there. Freeman and Ford were not out front. They were supposed to stay the night. He got into the house. He left a freaking balloon for us. And now I've got a goddamn doll dressed in a police uniform with a knife stuck in its chest riding with us in the car.
Calm down, detective.
I am trying to be calm, she said as she turned the corner, seeing headlights behind them. He's like a damn ghost. The house had deadbolts, Lieutenant. How the hell did he get inside? And who the hell pulled Freeman and Ford?
Danny tugged at her arm. I think someone's following us. I know. She turned again, taking the corner too fast and missing the curb by inches.
What?
He asked. Someone's tailing us. Then go to the station. He won't follow you there. We're too far away, and I'm telling you there's a leak. Someone is feeding him information. And I'm telling you, that's ridiculous. She glanced in the mirror, seeing the car behind her slowing. She sped up, then turned again. A few more blocks, and she'd hit the freeway. Let me call you back, she said. Did you lose him? More like he lost us, she said. Go to the station, Harper. I'll get there when I can. Yeah, she said as she disconnected. But no thanks. What is it? Danny asked. He wants us to go in. There was little traffic as she took the ramp onto the freeway. A car or two ahead of her, another coming up from behind. That was it. I don't think that's a good idea. What'll we do? I'm going to call Reed. Have him meet us somewhere. Let him take this damn doll out of here, she said as she glanced over her shoulder, seeing those lifeless eyes staring at her. So he quit following us, right? Looks that way. She glanced at her phone, finding Reed's number. It rang four times before his sleepy voice sounded in her ears.
Do you know what time it is?
I do. Get up. I need you. She heard covers rustling.
What's wrong?
I need you to meet us somewhere. Now, Reed.
Jesus, Harper. What's going on? I thought you were at a safe house.
There's an IHOP off Mockingbird Lane. Meet us there.
Okay, I'm up.
Thanks. She put her phone in her lap, then looked over at Danny. You okay?
Are you?
I don't think I've processed it yet. He was in the house with us, a house with deadbolts that lock from the inside. She shook her head. If he'd wanted, he could have killed us tonight.
I'm sorry, Harper.
It's not your fault, Danny. I'm the one who's supposed to keep you safe, she said, her voice shaky, and I'm sleeping as if nothing is going on.
We were supposedly at a safe place. We had two cops sitting on the street in front of the house. Why wouldn't we go to sleep?
Harper glanced at her. What is he doing? Is he just fucking with us?
It's a game, Danny said. Since the beginning, that's how I always felt, like he was playing a game with me.
Yeah, a game that he's definitely winning. Danny was too nervous to enjoy the coffee, but she took a sip anyway. Harper sat beside her in the booth. Her eyes were glued to the door, and she had yet to pick up her cup. As if feeling her watching, Harper glanced over at her. You okay? It was the third time Harper had asked that question, and Danny wasn't sure how to answer. It was her fault, of course, that she'd brought this guy to Dallas with her. And yes, it was her fault that an innocent woman had been raped. Now Harper was on the run as well. Her fault, too. Harper's expression softened as their eyes met. You have guilt written all over your face, Harper said quietly. For no reason. You're as much a victim as anything.
But I brought him here.
No, he followed you here. Harper sighed and finally reached for her coffee cup. I just don't know what to do about it.
Do you think we should go in?
I don't know. He's getting his information from somewhere. She rubbed her head. I don't know what to do anymore. She glanced to the door. There's Reed. Detective Springer came inside, yawning. There were only three other tables occupied, and he smiled when he spotted them.
You look an awful lot like Danielle Stevens, he said with a wink. Do you get that often?
His smile faded when neither she nor Harper returned it. He slid into the booth opposite them.
What's going on?
Our guy showed up again.
At the safe house? No way.
He got inside, left a balloon for us, left another damn doll inside the car. Harper cleared her throat. The unit out front, it got pulled off. We were there alone, without backup, and he got inside the goddamn house while we were sleeping.
Jesus Christ, he whispered. Who pulled the backup?
I don't know. I called Mize, Harper said. He wanted us to come in, but we were being followed. I tried to lose him, but it was more like he gave up the chase. That's when I called you.
Jesus, Harper, what's going on here?
Detective Springer murmured. I can't believe he was inside the house.
I know. There's got to be a leak, Reed. How else could he know where we were? And he's as slippery as a damn ghost. The house had deadbolts, locked from the inside. When I checked everything, all was still secured. Yet there was a damn balloon tied to a chair in the living room.
Harper leaned on her elbow, running her fingers through her hair several times. I don't know what to do, Reed. He's escalating everything, raped a woman for whatever reason, and while we were sleeping, he was in the goddamn house with us. Danny could tell how tense Harper was, and she leaned closer, letting her shoulder touch hers. Harper pressed against her, too, and took a deep breath.
So,
what do you want to do? He asked.
Mize said to go in. He was on his way.
But you're afraid to go in?
Hell, we don't know who this guy is. The only description we have of him is a creepy clown face. He could walk right into our squad room, and we wouldn't know it.
I still think that's the safest place for you two to be. He leaned closer. It's like he's playing mind games. The dolls, the balloon. Hell, he was in the house with you. He could have...
I know.
Harper glanced at her quickly. I know what he could have done. She took a deep breath.
I guess we have to go in, don't we?
Harper conceded.
That's really your only choice, Detective Springer said with a nod.
Then he smiled politely at the waitress, who brought him a cup of coffee.
Thanks.
Are you ready to order?
She asked, looking between the three of them.
Just coffee for now,
Harper said dismissively.
I couldn't possibly eat anything, Danny said.
She was having a hard enough time swallowing the coffee. She picked up the cup, absently glancing out the window toward the parking lot. The scream got lodged in her throat as she dropped the cup, spilling coffee across the table. The clown was pressed against the window, his nose smashed on the glass as he peered inside, looking for her. Harper jumped up, running for the door. Danny was paralyzed with fear as Detective Springer jumped up, too.
What the hell's going on?
She pointed, her hand shaking.
He was there, looking in.
The clown?
Danny nodded.
Yes, the clown.
Their waitress hurried over with a towel and started cleaning up the coffee.
Don't you worry about the mess. I just hope your friend didn't get scalded,
she said with a smile.
You probably hear this all the time, but you look just like Danielle Stevens.
Danny smiled back at her, summoning up her best Tennessee twang.
I've heard that before, but she's much prettier than I am.
Oh, honey, I don't think so. She wears too much makeup. I like the fresh look myself.
Well, thank you.
Should I bring you another cup?
No,
Danny said quickly.
We're leaving, but thank you.
Detective Springer pulled out some bills and tossed them on the table. Then he took her elbow and led her toward the door. Harper opened it, then motioned them out.
No sign of him, Harper said, directing the statement at her.
I'm not surprised.
I didn't even see him, Detective Springer said.
I swear he's like a goddamn ghost. Come look what he left us. Tied to the car was a balloon. Identical to the one left in the house.
Have a nice day? Really? I'll give him this. He's got a sense of humor,
Detective Springer said.
Yeah, same balloon that we found in the house, Harper said.
Danny grabbed Harper's arm and squeezed.
Look, she said, pointing to the car. The doll is gone.
Harper tried the back door, but it was still locked.
Like I said, a ghost. Maybe there was a tracking device in the doll. That's how he found us here.
Then why take the doll?
I don't know. Hell, I don't know anything anymore.
Well, let's get out of here, Detective Springer said. You're not safe out here in the open. The guy could be anywhere, watching.
Danny looked to Harper for direction, and she nodded.
Yeah. We should go. Lieutenant Mize was on his way in. Harper then turned to Reed. You follow us, okay? Close.
You got it.
Harper hesitated, glancing back toward the window where the clown had been, wondering if it was worth sending out a forensic team. He'd had white gloves on. His nose was the only thing that touched the pane.
What is it?
Reed asked. Nothing. Let's go.
Chapter 25.
I get the feeling that you don't really trust your lieutenant right now.
Harper glanced over at Danny. Besides Reed, I don't trust anyone right now.
You don't think your lieutenant...
No, I'm not saying he's involved, but besides us, he's the one who has been privy to everything. He's the one who set up both safe houses. She looked in the mirror, feeling somewhat comforted, knowing Reed was right behind her. I don't know. Maybe it's somebody close to him. She knew that didn't make sense, though, seeing as how Danny had brought her stalker with her.
It's all kind of surreal, isn't it?
Harper nodded. Yes, you're being awfully calm about it, though.
I don't know how else to be. I'm too scared to think, really.
It's going to be okay, Danny.
You think so?
Danny wrapped her arms around herself.
How does he keep finding us? He was staring in the window. He knew where we were. He was just watching us.
She turned her head to look at Harper.
A creepy clown. We've got a creepy clown chasing us.
We'll get him. Don't worry.
It's hard not to worry. I don't want anything to... Well, I dragged you into this. I don't want anything to happen to you.
She held her hand up.
And don't say it's your job. All of this...
She shook her head.
This is not your job. It's turned into babysitting, something you feared at the beginning, right?
It's turned into a protection detail, yes, but it's still my job.
You haven't let me out of your sight since the moment we met. You took me to your home. You let me share a bed with you because I was scared. Is all of that your job?
Harper wasn't sure how to respond to that. Danny was right, of course. She was going way above and beyond. And for a moment there, she had actually considered disobeying Mize's orders. For a moment there, she'd considered taking Danny and going on the run to try to lure the clown to them. So she could then, what? Kill him? Arrest him?
Why? Why was she doing all of this?
She looked over at Danny, admitting that in only a few short days, she'd gotten under her skin. She was no longer Danielle Stevens. Hell, she didn't even know who Danielle Stevens was.
No. She was Danny Strauss,
a beautiful woman with a stalker, a creepy clown, and Harper intended to keep her safe by whatever means necessary.
Again. Why? Did she think that by keeping Danny safe, she could somehow make amends for what had happened to Jan?
In her mind, she'd failed Jan. She hadn't protected her. Jan's murder wasn't random, like the others. Jan was selected. And how easy must it have been? Harper wasn't home much. She'd been consumed with catching the killer. The Raggedy Ann killer. Consumed with it. Following dead-end lead after dead-end lead. That last night included. She was out chasing a lead, and he was at her house slaughtering her lover.
Harper?
Harper pulled her eyes from the road, glancing over at Danny. Danny raised her eyebrows.
You've got a death grip on the steering wheel.
She relaxed her hands a little. Sorry. Danny reached over and rubbed her arm lightly.
Jan?
Harper wasn't really surprised that Danny could read her that well. She nodded. Just making sure my guilt was still intact, she said truthfully. Danny said nothing else. She simply nodded and leaned her head back.
There's not a leak, Harper. Get that out of your mind.
Then how...
Lieutenant Mize held his hand up.
Enough of this. Let's move on.
He glanced at a note on his desk.
The patrol unit claims to have gotten a radio call, pulling them off duty. said it sounded like any other radio call.
What are you saying? There wasn't really a radio call?
No, at least not one that was initiated by us. Someone hacked the frequency. It's not unheard of.
Mize leaned back in his chair.
I know you think that there's a leak somewhere, that this guy's got an informant or something, but that makes no sense, Harper. This guy showed up out of nowhere. Daniel Stevens coming here was only 2 weeks in the planning, and even that was kept quiet. You didn't even find out until a day before.
I know it makes no sense, Lieutenant, but how else is he finding us?
There's a tracking device that we've missed.
We've scanned everything, twice. Harper held her hands up. The only thing I can think of is if it's something that's not detectable.
What about her phone?
Harper shook her head. No, we left her phone here as a precaution. Mize folded his hands together, tapping his index fingers together.
So, there's something we haven't discussed, he said carefully.
She raised her eyebrows.
Such as?
He opened his hands up.
Such as, did this start out as a publicity stunt by her?
Harper stood up. Are you seriously suggesting that she staged this whole thing? She narrowed her eyes.
Seriously? It was mentioned, yes.
What, like she hired a stalker for publicity and then had him rape a woman? Really? You think this was staged?
It was mentioned as a possibility. Hell, everybody's just looking for answers.
She tried to keep her temper under control, but the words were out before she could stop them.
Answers? Nobody took this seriously at the beginning. You certainly didn't.
She took a step closer to his desk, pointing at him. You had no interest in catching this guy. You wanted to hide her until she left town and took her stalker back with her, even after he raped a woman.
Mize glared at her. Detective, he warned. Sit down and shut up before you say something you'll regret.
Harper ran her hands through her hair.
He was in the goddamn house with us. He could have killed us so easily because we're sleeping, thinking we have backup outside.
She turned her back to him, taking a deep breath, then stared up at the ceiling.
Was that it? He'd been in the house while they were sleeping. Had he opened the door and peeked in at them? Do you want me to take you off of this detail?
She spun around quickly.
No, sir.
He studied her, his eyes narrowed.
This one is getting a little personal for you, isn't it?
She frowned as she sat back down.
What do you mean? The note targeting you, the doll in the police uniform, the knife. It's been suggested that we turn Miss Stevens over to Springer, get you out of the way.
She was surprised at the panic she felt. Reed was her partner. She trusted him to have her back, but she didn't trust him, or anybody else, to keep Danny safe.
No, sir. I'm okay.
She swallowed down her panic.
I think that Miss Stevens would prefer I stay on. Is that right? Based on what?
He spread his hands out.
I'm not trying to place blame or anything here, Harper, but you haven't exactly kept her out of harm's way.
She was too shocked to respond to his statement. Was she to blame?
I'll give her the opportunity, at least, he continued. She wanted a female officer to shadow based on an upcoming role of hers. Now that she's apparently in real danger, she may prefer a man on this assignment. We'll let her decide.
Harper had no doubt as to what Danny's decision would be. Did she? Or was she being presumptuous? Maybe Mize was right. She hadn't exactly kept this guy away from Danny.
Go ahead and send her in, Harper, and ask Springer to come in, too.
He paused.
You can take a break. Grab some coffee or something. I know it's been a rough morning for you.
My God, was he really so blatantly patronizing her? Suggesting a man could do a better job? Telling her to take a break because she'd had a rough morning? But she nodded obediently before taking her leave. Arguing would do no good. Danny was sitting at her desk, and she looked at her questioningly. Reed was just walking in with a cup of coffee.
Lieutenant wants to see you, she said to Reed. She turned to Danny. And you.
Danny's brows drew together.
What's going on? Harper shrugged. I'm not really sure, to be honest with you.
Chapter 26 Danny sat down next to Detective Springer, uncomfortable in the room without Harper. Lieutenant Mize offered her a reassuring smile, but she thought it looked forced.
Miss Stevens, we're thinking about making some changes.
Changes?
Yes. I thought perhaps you might feel more comfortable, safer, if we placed you under the care of Detective Springer.
Her eyes widened. In place of Harper?
Yes. It's been a rather eventful few days for you. Detective Jeremiah, well, she hasn't been able to totally shield you from this guy. I think...
She stood up quickly. No, I don't want to change. She glanced at Detective Springer. No offense to you, but I would not feel more comfortable or safer with someone other than Detective Jeremiah.
She glanced out of the office window, hoping to see Harper, but she was not at her desk. She felt her hands shaking, and she feared she was about to have a panic attack. What if they really made the change? Then what? Would she be forced to do it? What were her options? Leave Dallas?
Miss Stevens, I assure you, Detective Springer is fully capable of...
I don't care. She met his gaze. I prefer to stay with Detective Jeremiah.
Are you sure, Miss Stevens? Because...
I'm sure.
He stared at her a moment, then finally nodded.
Very well. It's your decision, of course, but I wanted to give you the opportunity to change.
Thank you, but I'm fine with her. He stood.
Well, I guess we need to get Harper back in here, then. Thank you,
he said dismissively, waving a hand toward the door.
I'll come get her in a moment, if you could let her know.
With a quick glance at Detective Springer, she left them, closing the door behind her. She was relieved to find Harper back at her desk. She sat down beside her, flicking her gaze toward Lieutenant Mize's office.
You won't believe what he wanted,
she whispered to Harper. Harper smiled.
So does that mean you're not ready to ditch me yet?
You knew?
Harper nodded. He thinks that, well, that a man could do a better job of protecting you.
Danny rolled her eyes. He said he thought I'd be more comfortable with Detective Springer, safer.
She met Harper's gaze. He sort of insinuated that you're not doing your job.
I know.
Why? It's not your fault the guy keeps finding us.
I know.
Danny lowered her voice even more.
I don't like him very much.
Harper laughed. Good, because he doesn't like me very much.
Why?
Harper shrugged. His wife left him for another woman.
What does that have to do with you?
I guess I'm a reminder. The woman she left him for was a detective.
Oh, but still.
Doesn't matter. Harper glanced toward the office, too. So what did you say?
I told him I preferred to stay with you. I hope I didn't offend Detective Springer. It's nothing against him.
Reed will be disappointed, not offended.
She leaned back in her chair.
So what do you think the new plan of action will be? I'm kinda hoping they've run out of safe houses. How about a 5-star hotel?
Harper smiled.
That would be nice, but I'm not sure anything has changed. Keep you safe is the goal.
Until I leave.
Until you leave.
I wonder if...
Harper? In here.
Their eyes met at the sound of Lieutenant Mize's voice. Then Harper stood, pausing to touch her shoulder as she walked by her. Danny turned, watching her until Harper closed the door. She took a deep breath, wondering what she would have done if he'd insisted that she change from Harper to Detective Springer. For that matter, she wondered what Harper would have done.
Chapter 27
Harper kept her face expressionless as Mize stared at her. She could feel Reed shifting uneasily in the chair beside her.
So,
Miss Stevens wants to stick with you. Apparently, for some crazy